Robert coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. I'm bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And 90-degree minds of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, not doing bad at all. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. You're coming through faintly.
All right. Well, we hope that the people on the board
that's
will
better.
Get
better. There you go. That's good.
All right. Fine. Well, anyway.
You probably took that big cigar out of your mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do not smoke cigars. I don't even drink whiskey, you know. The first thing I do is I have an occasional glass of white Zinfandel. But under any circumstances, we're certainly seeing that playing games with gold today, over in Dubai, over in London, why, there's up to it $1,029. But here in the United States, it closed, about $1,003 or $1,004, somewhere there?
Well, the exact close on the spot was 1,000.80 or 80 cents, up 210.
All right.
Silver was 20.36, down 25 cents.
Well, they're sure there's...
And we also have the outside market as well, which is the next month, which would be April or May, probably May. And that was 106.80, up 350. And silver was 20.31, down to 46 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So the market was mixed. It is probably, and I've seen lots of them over the past 10 years, this is probably the most glaring, arrogant example of market rigging in the history of the market. It was awful. And we saw the TOCOM in Tokyo close at 1,034. We had a high here early on in the morning on COMEX. That was up at 10:25. And the United States government just came in and pounded both metals. They pounded platinum and palladium. They had platinum down $118 and palladium down $41. They went after the commodities and knocked them down. Now, I'll tell you something real interesting here. Two things. Number one, the two-year yield on U.S. Treasury securities was only 1.36%. I don't know how long it's been since it's been there, but it's been a long time. And the 10-year was 3.32. And the other anomaly here... incidentally, the dollar was up 0.12 at 71.44, but the anomaly here was the Dow was up 21 points after having been down 250. But yet S&P was down 99 Dow equivalent points, and NASDAQ was down 210 Dow equivalent points, and that is highly unusual. So it shows you the rigging that's going on.
Well, very obviously, why the plunge protection team, the working group on markets, is certainly doing everything they can to manipulate the market. They really don't want panic after what happened this last weekend when they came in and they actually lowered the discount rate. I think what was it, 0.25%? But then, of course,
from 3.5% to 3.25%.
Wait, pardon? Right.
From 3.5% to 3.25%.
But I think what's really so fascinating is the fact that, you know, the stock on Bear Stearns has gone from about $170 a share down to $2 a share, where it was when J.P. Morgan bought it. Boy, I'd sure like to have been short on that stock. Well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman.
nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two books set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here with Bob Chapman. We're talking about, of course, the manipulation of the stock market. And when you see the Dow Jones going up and the Standard & Poor's and the NASDAQ going down, why, of course, you know the whole thing's being manipulated. Well, Bob, one of the things I really was hoping you'd cover this afternoon is the relationship to the Japanese currency. You keep talking about now, certainly the Japanese currency has the potential to become certainly an explosive element and really rock the whole world financial markets. Could you explain the relationship of the... Certainly, we know that the Japanese currency has been used for the carry trade for a long period of time, and of course, because of the very low interest rates, people could borrow money there, and then, of course, change it into dollars, and then buy bonds, American bonds, borrow over there at 0.5% or 1%, and then lend here, you know, at 3 or 4%, and of course, make money on the spread. But what's going to happen, you know, when all that money comes home from all overseas? Certainly, is that going to wreck the Japanese economy? Certainly, if we got the $3 trillion back that everybody else is holding, we'd have massive inflation at home here. Where does the Japanese currency fit into this whole scheme of things?
Well, I think it has been used to the detriment of the Japanese people for the most part. As a instrument of monetary policy by the Fed. And this has been going on since the Second World War. And the payoff of the Japanese was the U.S. would never say anything about them making their currency inexpensive so that the goods were priced right to purchased in the U.S. market. And this has been going on for many years. So that's the deal that was set up. And the yen is getting strong because the Japanese average person, particularly housewives, if you can believe this, were short the yen. And this goes back not too long ago to when it was 122 and then 110. And these shorts got wiped out because the yen started to gain momentum. And part of that momentum as it went was caused by the short covering. And part of the rally that you're seeing now beyond one, I think it's around 97. Let me take a look here. 97.33 today. I think the move from parity, which is one, up to 97.33. That's correct, up to 97.33 was generated by foreign exchange trading, not by short covering. But the early move from 122 upward was definitely caused in part by short covering. And when the yen went up, what happened was that Japanese goods got more expensive. And also, it got more expensive to be involved in the yen carry trade. The cost of goods is pretty easily recognizable and understandable. But in the carry trade, what they would do is, let's say a bank in New York would contact a bank in Tokyo and say, we want to borrow $1 billion worth of yen. And they figure out what the rate would be. They probably give them the rate. And they'd say, okay, here's $1 billion worth of yen. And then they would take that and convert it into dollars and then buy things. U.S. treasuries, stock market, bonds, whatever. And whenever the Japanese yen went up in value, they'd start losing money. Because they got to replace that yen, and in order to do so, they got to buy it back. Because they borrowed it. Because they don't make yen in New York City. I mean, they do business in dollars. And so every time the yen moved higher, it inhibited the carry trade. So right now at 97.33, which is a high on the yen, the carry trade looks very unattractive because we don't know how much higher the yen is going to go, and it's very strong.
Well, now what happens then? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what happens when the carry trade ends and when all these people have to start, you know, liquidating all their holdings here in the United States or wherever else they've invested the money that they got from buying the yen, you know, at a very low rate?
They've been doing that since 110. And that's why there's been a lot of pressure on stock markets throughout the world, particularly the U.S. one. And that's why the United States government is in manipulating our stock market to keep it from going down. And when they manipulate the stock market, if they lose money, American taxpayers get to pay for it.
Right.
It's just like in the comics, the traders are called commercials. The commercials are habitually, as part of their trade, to be short. But right now, and for the last 2 months, all of the commercials have been short, and they've been short record amounts of gold contracts. And they're offside probably $7 or $8 billion. I don't know what the exact figure is. Maybe even more. And I was a trader for 25 years, and I have never seen all traders, one group of traders in commodities, going the same way at the same time, which leads me to believe that their losses are being guaranteed by the United States government.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, certainly this last weekend. I think there was a bit of panic in Washington, D.C. when they had an emergency lowering of the discount rate. And, of course, they're going to have a meeting next Tuesday, so they could not wait from Sunday until Tuesday or Saturday until Tuesday. What do you think is going to happen on Tuesday? Do you think they're going to lower the discount rate even further?
Well, the professionals think it's three-quarters of a point to a point. They're usually right. And if it was not three-quarters of a point to a point, the stock market would deep six, because it's already baked into the cake, so to speak. And it's been discounted in other markets as well. So when it happens, don't expect any gyrations. If it's spot on, which is three-quarters to 1%, that won't affect markets because it's already priced in. And that's probably what is going to happen. I put in the international forecaster that in the next two meetings, I expected a 1% drop. We may get it in one meeting. And we're going to get another one after that. And they're going to take it down to 1% again. And unless the banks lighten up and stop asking for mortgages with 20% down and FOICs over 700, and bank accounts, tax returns, work records, the whole works, they have made getting a home like it used to be 10 years ago or more. And that is going to deeply inhibit the market, especially because the prices are falling. And so sales are going to continue to decline, and there's going to be continue to be foreclosures as they decline. There's going to be a lot of walkaways as well, especially when people are down to no equity, and they say, I don't need this. And this is going to go on for the next 5 years, the worst part of which will be the next 2 years. But it'll carry on another 3 years because there's a pick-and-pay option adjustable-rate mortgages that have to be dealt with, and they are starting this year to come due. And that is, let's say you buy a $1 million house and get great credit, and you can afford to pay $10,000, $15,000 a month in house payments. But the broker says to you, look, you know, you don't have to do that. You can get an adjustable rate option loan because you get a good credit history. And instead of paying $10,000 a month, you can pay $1,000. But during the five-year period that these things exist, the value of the home has to go up. Because if it doesn't, it's going to be difficult for you because they're tacking part of the interest on the back of the loan. And those loans are coming due, and for people who really should have never taken them out in the first place, most of which was talked into it. And so they had a great time for 5 years paying $1,000 a month, and the other $9,000 was tacked on the back of the loan. And now they're going to make a new loan, and it, you know, their payments are going to be $12,000 a month or $13,000. And those loans have yet to really hit. So, yes, we have subprime loans, and yes, we have ALTA loans, all of which were 650 FOICs or lower. But now we get these option loans. And so the lower interest rates really are not going to help that much because the bankers have been burned so badly. I mean, they're going to be declaring losses for the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to be brutal. And that's why the system can't recover for a long time.
Well, I think it's so interesting.
The greed just really got ahead of them.
Well, I think it's so interesting that many people who really could have afforded to buy their house, you know, could put the 20% down, but they get into this situation, then they end up with the value of the house dropping, that they're paying interest on a mortgage on a house that's worth far less than the mortgage. And, of course,
so they walk away.
People, A lot of people are just going to walk away from them. So anyway, our guest this afternoon is Bob Chapman. If you have any questions, like answered, our number, 1-800-259-5791, right here at Genesis.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about really what's happening to the economy. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they're doing everything to play this down. But back in Washington, D.C., back in New York, they're frightened to death because they see this whole thing unloading and certainly collapsing from within. The problem is that there's nothing they can do about it. If they continue doing what they're doing, which is lowering interest rates and pouring money out, it's highly inflationary. but it's the idea of pushing on the string. You're not getting to the root cause, which is the insolvency of most of our major financial institutions and many of our small banks. So getting back to Bob, our telephone number again is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791 if you have a question. But Bob has been absolutely right. He's been telling people to get in gold and silver for a long period of time, and they're both just taken off by rockets.
I don't know for sure.
Bob? Bob?
Yes.
I noticed the silver stocks really aren't doing very much, though.
The gold stocks?
No, the silver stocks, at least, you know, over the last so
well,
three
the
or four
silvers
months.
And the golds both. And one of the problems we've got is there's disinterest, generally speaking, in the exploration area. But I think that will change. And we've got the U.S. government shorting the big stocks.
Right.
The producers, such as Agnico and Gold Corp and Silver Standard, et cetera. And it's again a problem of these miscreants in Washington of rigging markets. It's horrible what's going on. People are losing vast fortunes of money because of what our government's doing. In fact, I've been telling people on every program to go to every congressman and senator and tell them you know what's going on and you want it stopped.
Well, of course, you know, if the congressman gets out of line, why, you know, they're going to come up with dirt on him. They'll do to him what they did to Elliot Spitzer. Not that I have any sympathy for Spitzer, but, you know very well that they targeted him. I mean, the FBI released all the information. Why didn't they hold it back like they always do, saying, oh, well, we have an ongoing investigation? Because they wanted to get rid of Spitzer. He was beginning to investigate Larry Silverstein and some of the other people, and they were going to get him, and they targeted him, and they destroyed him, and not that he didn't deserve to be destroyed, but I'm sure the congressman could look at that and say, hey, maybe I could be next.
Well, I think you're right about that. But I have something else to add. And that is, if you cannot get the Congress to act on your behalf, and many people are interested in that sort of thing happening, not particularly with just the rigging of the markets, because most people aren't in the markets and most people just don't understand what goes on in markets. But in general, you have a situation with illegal aliens, as an example. 82% of Americans do not want illegal aliens in the country, yet, you know, Congress does what they want to do, and so doesn't our president. And so, you know, where are we? Well, we're at a situation where, when given no other choice, people take alternative measures. And in the middle of a depression, you're going to see some pretty nasty things happening. And the people in charge know that they really don't care. They just bring over their 200,000 mercenaries and get stuck overseas, and then bring them home and round up people like you and I and put us away.
Well, I think that we need to do is see what's happened in the past, and most people don't know the history of what's happened in the past when they actually have rounded up American citizens and put them into concentration camps. People have forgotten the Palmer Raids. They've forgotten what happened to the Japanese and Germans and Italians during the Second World War. With no justification, American citizens went off, minted, and went off to camp. So we've got Harvey calling in. Harvey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida, Doctor.
Okay, sure. Well, I figured that was Harvey from Florida. Do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, yes. What an honor to speak with Bob Chapman as well. Yes, Bob, I'd like to ask you, you know, one of the a little subdivision that they spun off from Carlyle Group, which they put on the Netherlands Stock Exchange, I believe, and that evaporated in the last few days, the last week. How is that going to affect the main Carlyle Group? Do you have any information on that? And we're going to see Daddy Bush and his cohorts begging for food in the streets like the rest of us?
Well, you're speaking of Carlyle Capital.
I heard rumors about it, but I don't have anything concrete. I do know that it will affect Carlyle, the main corporation. To what degree, I don't know. I do know the Carlyle Capital went bankrupt what the numbers are. I think it's about $20 billion or something like that. And I would assume that some losses were taken.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Hold that thought. We'll be right
back. You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocketed, Rocket trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Harvey, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Doctor.
Okay, did you have anything else you wanted to ask Bob before we let you go?
Yes, I'd just like to follow up on that. You know, the Blackstone Group issued stock recently, which is now in the tanker, and it seems like every time these private companies and hedge funds let the little people in on it, it seems like they know ahead of time what's going to be going on. And with this Carlyle Group, wouldn't it be poetic justice to see Frank Carlucci and James Baker and the rest of the big investors actually have to go out and go to work for the first time in their lives?
Wouldn't that be nice? What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, my take on it when it happened was that I thought that it was a very, very bad idea. And we shorted the stock at 38. I don't know what it's selling for now, about 20 or 16 or something like that. And I think it's got a long way to go on the downside. And so that was my take on it. But you're right about them, you know, dumping their stock on the market just before the collapse. Because, you know, these people know ahead of time what's going on. And so I thought that others were going to follow, but the market started to deteriorate about a year ago so quickly that they were not able to get their issues off, their IPOs. So Blackstone was the only one that was able to.
Okay.
Could certainly investigate something like that to see if they had any inside knowledge and check their emails and things. And I'll get off the air and listen to your answer.
Right. Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, Bob?
Yeah, you can never expect the SEC to go after anyone who is within the special group, so to speak, the Illuminus. They just don't do that. And so, you know, don't expect that to happen. I mean, even if caught, what they do is they get to pay a fine and walk away from it.
They get a little pat on the head and say, oh, naughty, naughty, and they just get off, you know, with a minor fine. Before we go on, we have Mark calling from Oregon, and we're going to take our calls again at 800-259-5791. But before we go to Mark, I'd like you to tell us how people can get in touch with the International Forecaster, how they can get a free copy and maybe even subscribe. And let me tell you, I look forward twice a week to getting the publication. Keeps you right on the cutting edge of what's happening. Go ahead.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and it usually runs around 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out as well for people who are not on the net. And that's twice a month. And if you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to our site, and that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, Forecaster.com. If you'd like to email us with a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com, or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, well, let's go to Mark, who's calling us from Oregon. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Yeah, fine, Dr. Stan. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great. Hi, Bob Chapman. It's great to be able to ask you a question or two. I recognize you as one of the greatest authorities, the most comprehensive knowledge, even in a situation like this economically that we face today. Bob, I'd heard a few weeks ago that they had actually began printing up some Amero currency down at the Denver Mint. And I was wondering if you had heard about that. And this seems to be at least the most apparent objective of bringing the American economy down is essentially as a vehicle to bring the Amero currency toward a more global currency after that. And I'm wondering if I'd heard somewhere in the wind also sometime fairly recently that they plan on bringing a silver backing or a partial silver backing to the Amero currency when it would come in. And if this should happen or something equivalent to it where silver actually becomes a partial or full backing for a national currency or all national currencies with the new regional currency at the time that the Amero comes in, how would this affect the price of silver? Would it be set to the new currency? Would there be a devaluation of silver? And actually, what do we look at is, on the other hand, as far as when people have gleaned their increases in the precious metals market who have held through this rise in gold and silver and other precious metals, what do they sell back into unless they have a currency that's a viable currency? Nobody's going to sell back into the U.S. dollar, which I've heard people say recently that are of your expertise, that, you know, the U.S. dollar will never come back.
Okay, let's get Bob's response to that. Bob, have you heard anything valid? I mean, we keep hearing these rumors all the time, and private mints have printed up some Ameros, but do you know of any official printing of Ameros?
No, I've heard about it, but I don't know, and I have not heard anything regarding a silver-backed Amero. And as far as currency is concerned, I wouldn't think that people would want to trade either gold or silver for dollars or Ameros once they had gold and silver. So until it becomes a viable threat and it's real, I don't have anything further to comment on it, because I really don't know, and I don't think anybody else does.
Well, Mark, I would say they're putting a lot of false information out there, intentionally to get us confused. And, you know, we get to hear so much conflicting information. I heard just today that Larry Silverstein had pulled $14 billion out of Carlyle, a corporation. They were facing financial collapse. Now, I don't think it's true at all, but there is so much misinformation, disinformation up on the Internet. You've got to be awful careful.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Dr. Sam. Perhaps the future is not set in stone when it comes to this. We'll just have to follow it along and try to gain as much real value as we can in the meantime, I guess.
All we can do is to try to depend upon responsible people like Bob, and we try to have responsible people on our program. Anyway, thanks so very much for calling.
Hey, thank you, Sam.
God bless. And let's go to Ari, who's calling. Ari is calling from California. Is this the Ari that I know?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. Listen, I just want to appreciate you, Bob Chapman. I listen to you quite a bit. You're pretty popular on the radio. I hear you about anywhere from 3 to 5 times a week. And I appreciate your insight. I think some of your information is very intriguing. Although I have to disagree a little bit, like with Alex Jones this morning. I think you're a little bit far out on that timeline. I think it could happen a lot sooner. But anyways, my question to you is this. Is I was listening to you about this 82% of the American public disagreeing and not wanting the illegal aliens in here, and I would definitely be one of them. I have been a witness to a tremendous amount of gang and mafia turmoil and warfare in this country, still going on here in California, and it seems to me that I've heard reports of the Chinese mafia, the triads, pulling in Chinese special forces from the PLA into this country, and it looks like the stage is being set for a civil war. And I've been talking to a friend that's in the militia and trying to get his take on how that all is going to play out, and how chaotic do you think this could get when it goes full bore?
All right, fine. Although I would be very careful of those
limits. And I don't know about the triads bringing in Chinese troops of any kind, but I do know that they certainly exist, and they're quite active, particularly in San Francisco and other West Coast cities, like Vancouver and British Columbia as well. And but I don't know about them bringing in these people you're talking about. Possible? I don't think it's probable. But
I think,
you know, anything
it
can happen.
Okay, Ari, I remember back in 1964 hearing similar things to frighten us to death. They can't bring in troops at this time. So, you know, if you can bring me the documentation, I'd love to see it. Hey, thanks very much for calling. Let's go to George, who's calling from Texas.
Yes, good afternoon, fellas. My question, Mr. Chapman, has to do with the personal possessions we have. Particularly, I have gold stocks, and I've got gold coins, the Cougarans. What is the danger to them being called in and our bank deposit safety boxes being watched over and closed out to us? Is there any threat, you know, being that everybody's interested in gold now, and you know, whether the government will manipulate that market to shut it down?
Well, first of all, less than 1% of Americans are involved in gold and silver right now. Secondly, you never keep your coins in a bank safety deposit box, because the government can confiscate them easily by them being there, if they choose to do so. I don't think there'll be confiscation, because Americans don't own enough to make it worthwhile. And it's different than the 1930s when people walked around with $10 and $20 gold pieces in their pocket, and lots of people had coins and bullion for that matter. And so I really don't see that happening.
Being that you just mentioned just 1% of the people own gold coins, so it wouldn't be a shock to the American people if they did shut down that gold market there.
Yeah, but what would they get? Very little. What they would go after is like the Canada Central Fund and the GLD ETF and the SLV Silver ETF, if that's what they wanted. That's what they would do.
Yeah.
Look, the GLD has 670 tons of gold in it. It would be worthwhile for them to say, hey, we want to take that. Here's the money for it at today's prices. Of course, nobody wants the dollars, but they have to take them if the government decrees it, and the government can really do anything that they want to do. And so I think that if any quest for gold was made, it would be in those areas, but I don't see them confiscating the individual's coins. There's a heck of a lot better chance that they try to get people's guns.
Yeah. Well, one last question I have is, what about gold securities? Would you say to take possession from the securities firms so that...
Well, a lot of them... let me put it this way. There is one person who has been involved in gold and silver for as many years as I have, who is advocating and taking delivery of your securities, and I'm not one of them. With Bear Stearns, this is just a good example. Bear Stearns is ready to go under. Morgan buys them out. What happens? Bear Stearns had a big clearing operation, and this clearing operation is profitable. So all it's going to do is be switched over, and the people will go from a company of Bear Stearns over to J.P. Morgan. So I don't see any reason to take delivery of securities, at least not at this time.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, is there anybody else out there that we're supposed to listen to have on
program? And then before you sell, you have to get the securities to the broker, so it's inconvenient as well.
Sure. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Do we have any other callers out there? Guess not. So, of course, our guest today is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Certainly we saw the government manipulating the price of gold and silver today, platinum, palladium, manipulating the stock market, taking it from what was it down over 200 points back to into the positive, although not very strongly. And, of course, it demonstrates the tremendous power of the government as far as manipulating our psychology. They do not want a run on the stock market, because they know the people would panic, it would feed upon itself, and more people would start selling their stocks. It would have even a more deleterious effect as far as the economy is concerned. There's a tremendous amount of liquidity in the inflated prices, on the stock market, which people can get out. But, of course, once they fall, all that money or the perceived money has simply disappeared. So they're playing games with our minds, and when we understand that, we've got to put ourselves into a position psychologically where we understand what's going on. We're not fearful. Do not listen to these stories about all the Chinese communist troops in Mexico or Canada just waiting to move in here, because a lot of this is designed to influence you and frighten you to death, and frightened people do not act responsibly. Would you agree with that, Bob?
I would agree with that. And, after you've been at this game as long as you and I have, you take a second look at everything to see if it's doable and possible but not probable.
Right. There may come a time when there will be foreign troops occupying America, but right now, of course, that's not the situation. Certainly, they do have their mercenaries. They have a mercenary army over in Iraq today. that is larger than the American military. Now, they call them contractors, and supposedly they're just over there doing jobs that, convoys and things like that, but these are armed people, and a lot of them are getting $100,000, $150,000 a year. A lot of them are ex-special forces, ex-military, and they're really hired killers. That's what they do. And, of course, they've been they killed Iraqi civilians, and nothing can be done about it. Well, I'm rather concerned, especially when I find that these same people from Blackwater are coming over here training our police, and we saw them, what they did there in New Orleans during the Katrina problem as they went from door to door collecting weapons. Their loyalty is not, of course, to the Constitution or to the United States. Their loyalty is to the man who's paid them exorbitant sums of money to sacrifice their principles. Bob, parting thought before we let you go.
I think that people who are in the stock market, this is the last time, get out. And the only exception are special situations, gold and silver stocks, oil and gas stocks, because no matter what, the government does to the market, they're going to eventually go up. And I think people should all be in gold and silver coins if they have money for investment. And if they don't have money for investment, they should be getting rid of their credit card and revolving debt.
We're out of time, Bob. God bless. Thanks so much.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., full color photographs, 550 high resolution full color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bob Chapman. But let me just say that I'm really very, very concerned that there will be food shortages as well as many other types of shortages, but certainly with wheat going up and rice going up and soybeans going up and corn going up to the highest levels that they've really ever been. And, of course, there's no end in sight. There really are shortages throughout the rest of the world. And we're in touch with the people down at Ready Reserve Food, and they tell us they're having increasing difficulties getting many of the foods that they want to prepare. They're also having, of course, higher prices. The prices just have gone up again. Don't wait until they get just totally out of bounds. If you have that a good supply of long-term storage food, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And if you'd like an emergency catalog, we'll get one. Or certainly if you already have a catalog, and I know that literally hundreds of you do, if you any way you can possibly start making plans, just to have the things on hand, certainly you need a means of filtering your water. Certainly the Berkey products are an excellent means of getting potable water when there's a water shortage. You need things to store your water in. They have large plastic barrels, and of course you need pumps to get the water out with. And there's so many things that you need. And of course we can provide, we can give, tell you where to get them. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Have you ever wondered what would happen if there was a nuclear attack or biological attack on the United States, or chemical attack? How could you use your home as a shelter? Well, we have an excellent DVD. It's called Sheltering in Place. And it's Sheltering in Place. We think it's excellent. And then we have a four-tape set on civil defense, which actually is interviews with many of the people who are involved in making that DVD, Sheltering in Place. We have, of course, a book on nuclear war survival skills. We have a book on making the best of basics. What do you do if you don't have food, if you've got wheat or something like that? I mean, how do you survive if you have to go back to very primitive ways, the ways that our grandparents did? Well, Making the Best of Basics is a great book. My wife really enjoys it. We got them in for Y2K, but we have them now, and all of the items are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's the video, Sheltering in Place. That is the four-tape set, Civil Defense. That is the book, Nuclear War Survival Skills. That's Making the Best of Basics. And certainly all of this information is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know what's happening financially, of course, you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami. You need to get our little pamphlet. So inexpensive. It's only $3.95. It's called Financial Meltdown, or certainly the other pamphlet called The History of Money. You need to know the background of what you're dealing with, because believe me, there's nothing new under the sun. Time again, down through the ages, why they've destroyed the value of the money. They did it in ancient Rome, and in 300 AD, 300 years after Christ was born, why Diocletian declared wage and price controls in Rome punishable by capital punishment, trying to control the skyrocketing prices that came from the inflation that they had at that time. So these patterns play themselves out over and over again. You need to understand them if you have any hope of surviving in the difficult times that lie ahead. And believe me, there are a lot of fronts that they can get us on. But, of course, we've got a great deal of information. If you'd like to get one of our catalogs, we have the regular catalog, a health catalog, or certainly an emergency food catalog. You can get it on a CD. You can get a regular one. If you just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, they're available. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can listen to our programs there 9 hours a day. Or you can listen to it on MP3. You can listen to it, archive programs. But get others to listen. Help us spread the word.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests, and of course, if you, our guest today is Dwayna Litz, and Dwayna we've had as a guest before. We're going to be talking about the occult influences in our society. Dwayna has a wonderful ministry, a nationwide ministry, and we'll let her tell you about that and the things that she's doing to try to get out the word of the Lord across America. Dwayna, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I've been looking forward to this. It's great to be with you again.
Well, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about, of course, what you're doing, about what your ministry is, and then, of course, we could talk a little bit about the occult influences in the church as well. So you go ahead.
Sure. Okay, I have a ministry called Lighting the Way Worldwide, and it began in California, in Venice Beach. Every other religion was promoted out there and recognized, but Christianity and Hare Krishna parades and Hinduism booths and Buddhism and a whole mile or two of psychics. And so we decided to, I had an idea, it seemed too good to be true. I went back to my church at the time, it was Grace Community, where John MacArthur's pastor, and this ministry began there, and I asked the pastor in evangelism, I said, this seems too good to be true, but what would you think about me having a table out in Venice Beach, and instead of reading people their palms, we could tell people how to be saved, what God has to say about their future, about heaven and hell, and how to know you're going to heaven. And so he said, I think it's a great idea. Well, it started in Venice. We have a sign that says, come find out what God has to say about your future for free. And we've got an alphabetized file bins of apologetics, articles on apologetics, apologetic materials, everything from the Da Vinci Code to Mormonism versus Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism. So it started in Venice, and then it moved to West Hollywood, where we have a booth there with the so-called gay bars, there on the gay bar strip, the nightlife of Santa Monica Boulevard, right beside the AIDS testing. We have a table that says A Heart for Him, and people come over, and we love them, and we offer them anything for free. We have testimony after testimony on CD of former sex addicts and prostitutes and homosexuals, and they've come to know Jesus and been set free. So then we also have a new ministry now in Long Beach, California, to prostitutes and homosexuals there, and Boulder, Colorado, with a focus on witchcraft, reaching witches, and this goddess worship is very prevalent there. There's a Buddhist university close to Pearl Street where we set up. So we have a fascinating, a wonderful ministry that the Lord has given us there in Boulder, and now in New York City, and I'll be off to the UK this summer to work with some churches there. So it's a ministry, it's an aggregate of street ministries. You say street ministry and people think the homeless, but this is to the homeless, this is to the educated, this is to every walk of life. And we go to places, we set up a table, and we let the Lord bring the people over, and we offer free Bibles, free tracts, free sermons in different languages. And most of all, we offer the gift of forgiveness, which is free through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
All right, fine. Well, of course, How do you get the people to staff the tables? How do they get the training? How do they have the understanding of, really, of course, how to approach people, you know, coming from different lifestyles?
Well, God brings them over, and when Christians want to come work with us, we explain to them how to tell someone how to be saved, which is very simple according to the Bible. But, you know, if you're saved, then we're told to go tell, and we've got a testimony. And so we encourage Christians to come and work with us. And it's amazing how God brings the people over, but he does.
All right.
In New York here with, you know, 8 million people, we're so busy in Columbus Circle that we need all the workers we can get. God brings so many people over.
All right, fine. Well, we hope that some of our listeners there in New York or thereabouts will hear and want to get in touch with you. We'll get all the information out just a little later right here at Radio Liberty. Hang on. We're going to bring some other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Duana Litz, and Duana has been on with us before. She has the most amazing ministry because she started out in Huntington Beach, where pretty far out people are, and a lot of them are cult. And then, of course, they've expanded this ministry really all across the country. They simply set up a card table, hand out free tracts to people, certainly in several areas of Southern California and Boulder, Colorado. I used to be right in New York City there. Certainly, this is some of the most notorious areas they go to. And of course, they will, of course, minister the prostitutes and to the homosexuals and to the sinners and really to everybody. And, of course, what a wonderful opportunity. And God really has had his hand on this ministry and brought people in to help, because Duana could only do a certain amount herself. And just getting together the material, the handouts, and then teaching people who work at these tables how to minister to complete strangers and tell them of the love of our Lord. So you pick up the story there, Duana.
Well, thank you so much for everything you said, Dr. Stan. And you're right, the Lord gets all of the glory. And the main thing that we tell people who come to work with us is that we have to be loving. People that have a short temper would really not be right for this ministry, because sometimes people will come up and be upset for no reason except that we are there in the name of the Lord. So we have to be loving in response. But it has a lot of depth in that it's a ministry of apologetics. It's not just the four spiritual laws. These days, in this postmodern culture where people are believing they're gods, we have to define our terms with people. And now, unfortunately, the occult has come into the church. So as I was researching the New Age to give the people answers at Venice Beach, I have spoken to witches. The Lord brought up a witch one day, and she was wanting to call God Mother, and she said, "I've been abused, my husband abuses me, and I don't want a Father God." I said, "Well, you don't know the God of the Bible as your father. Because to know him is to love him, and he is lacking in no good thing. He is the most wonderful, perfect, heavenly Father." And she started crying, Dr. Stan. So I didn't tell her a different gospel to appease her. I didn't make her feel comfortable there at the booth by God's grace. I didn't say, "Oh, you don't want to call God Father. Well, let me just put it another way then. Maybe we can see the scriptures in a different light. And although nowhere in the Bible does it say to call God Mother, well, maybe if it'll make you feel more comfortable, you can call God Mother." No, I said, I kept the gospel pure because that's how the Holy Spirit works. When we give someone a pure gospel...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Duana was just talking about a woman who came and who really didn't want to call God Father. She didn't want to call God Father because she'd been abused certainly by her husband, and she was resentful of men. And, of course, you know, you cannot deal with these people like this who've got these real serious problems. And maybe they're angry, or maybe they're whatever it is. You've got to deal with them in love. If we find this on the radio all the time. People will call in, and many times they just want to attack and attack and attack. And if you go back and you try to outsmart them saying glib things that are really, really pretty smart, why, you're going to totally lose them, and you're going to lose the audience as well. Mm-hmm. We have to manifest in what we do, whether it's over the radio or whether it's simply standing at a table in your community ministering to people. You have to deal with them in love. So you go ahead and pick the story up, Duana.
Well, the Lord is the one doing the work, and we're just used of him. And I thank him every time I get out there and can sit behind a table and people can know that I'm a Christian. I thank him for every time that he uses me. It's because he first loved me. So when we think of how much he's forgiven us, then we can forgive others. But it's so beautiful to see the Holy Spirit at work when we give someone the gospel and how to be saved, and we don't have to change. The Lord is perfect, and his word is his inspired word is perfect and holy, and to pervert it or to attempt to pervert it like some people sadly even within the church are doing today, it's very dangerous. And it seems that we're lacking a fear of God. As loving as he is a God of justice, and we are the ones that are servants to him. He's not a servant to us. And so as I've been researching all this to give them answers, to give the lost answers, I've come across some Achan doctrines within the church in this, you know, the contemplative prayer movement, the emergent church, and now what we are seeing here in a movement called evangelical feminism coming at us from people within the church, from some pastors, from seminary professors. They are teaching to call God mother. They're using Bible verses to do so, or trying to.
And so, of course, I certainly agree with you. I think there are very real problems within the church today, and many of the people, they're just really sort of swept up. It's something new, it's unique. We always like to be on the front lines of things, and boy, you know, if it helps us to get more people into the church, it can't be bad. And, of course, all we need to do is look at Joel Osteen down there. And,
yeah.
And you know, they've had to move actually into a stadium. The church that they had, I don't know, held 10, 15,000, but just wasn't big enough. Now they've got to go into a stadium. And they're preaching a gospel of self-love. And, boy, you look in the mirror every morning and say, gee, what a wonderful person you really are. And of course, it is an entirely different gospel. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, which tells us we're all sinners and that we need a Savior. And
well, I love to study. You're exactly right, and it's fascinating from a biblical standpoint to give an answer when these demonic doctrines come in, especially to the church, to confuse God's elect. Then it's really wonderful to be able to take out our Bible, our sword, and take verses in context with other verses and make a stand for the God that we know and love in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. You know, when you know Jesus, you know your shepherd. And you know the voice of the enemy, too. And so especially working in these mission fields of the occult and people that are embedded and trapped in these demonic snares, when I saw this spirit of witchcraft coming into the church, I could not even discuss this at first, Dr. Stan, without crying. But just recently, my friend Barrett Chose, and I know she's on your show a lot, your program, we use a lot of her articles in our booths to make available to people. And she's written a book, written an article just recently on the book The Shack. And in this book that's being endorsed by a lot of Christians, this book is teaching to call God mother. This is teaching a female God. And so we see Eugene Peterson, who's the author of The Message. We see that he is endorsing this book and saying, quote, this book has the potential to do for our generation what John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress did for his. It's that good. And are you familiar with this book, Dr. Stan, The Shack?
No, I'm really not. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, sure. Well, I'll quote from it. The Shack's female god... Okay, this goddess here, which is, we know, a demon, is speaking to the main character, Mackenzie, and this is a quote from this, the Shack's goddess, quote, for me to appear to you as a woman and suggest that you call me Papa is simply to mix metaphors to help you keep from falling so easily back into your religious conditioning. Okay, well, obviously, this is implying that people like myself, who take the Lord's Prayer, you know, as a model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, not once has God ever called mother. Oh, we've just been religiously conditioned. So we see here an attack on the gospel, an attack on, this is in the book, they reimagine the Trinity. There's this theme here to deny sin and guilt and God's authority. So this is unbelievable that YWAM, Youth with a Mission, YWAM Publishing is promoting this book and selling it on their website. Quote from YWAM, you'll want everyone you know to read this book. And we see Michael W. Smith, a recording artist. He says, quote, the shack will leave you craving for the presence of God. So, Dr. Stan, I don't know quite what's happening here, but I do know that in this day and age, we need to know we need to know the Bible, and we need to spend time in prayer and examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. One more thing before we leave the topic of this book, The Shack. The Shack's, quote, Jesus says, now this is the Jesus of the Shack, and we know that there's more than one Jesus being preached, by the way, because 2 Corinthians 11:4 tells us that. So this Jesus is different from our shepherd, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, second person of the Trinity. This Jesus says, quote, those who love me come from every system that exists. They're Buddhists or Mormons, Baptists or Muslims. I have no desire to make them Christian, but I do want to join them in their transformation into sons and daughters of my Papa, into my brothers and sisters.
Well, of course, that is the old idea of the one world religion. It goes right along with the one world order. We keep trying to warn people that there is an organized effort to do this. And, of course, the ultimate target is the church, to so infiltrate the church that people eventually get so confused they don't know what to believe in, and they begin to believe in these alternative religions. They've already taken over our churches as far as their music is concerned. They brought in music, of course, that would have horrified past generations. And of course, even Aristotle had said, let me control the music, you know, of a society. I can control that society. Because, of course, the music, which you're using so much of it today, opens people's minds to demonic forces. It really does. It's the beat. It's the repetition. It's the hypnotic influence that it has on the minds of so many people who listen. And they don't even realize when they go to church. Many times, of course, their minds are being brought under control. And I suspect that most of our ministers have no idea the impact of this new type of music on creating the new religion, which, of course, they would be horrified to realize they were part of.
Yeah, I agree. I love the hymns. And I found in my life, you know, there's a saying, the Bible will keep you away from sin, and sin will keep you away from the Bible because God's Word is so pure. I found that to be true also of the hymns. When I have anything on my mind and I get down on my knees and I'm praying, I can't sing those hymns to the Lord if there's anything between my heart and Him. And it's just wonderful the way... Well, I was raised singing the hymns, actually, Dr. Stan, and I traveled as a soloist in revival meetings, and I was so privileged to be raised on these great hymns like Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross and beautiful songs, which now people are calling sexist within the church. So it's, it comes close to my heart when the Lord has drawn you near through His precious Word and through the worship of hymns which demean me and exalt Him. And now this movement is coming at us with veracity to tell us from seminary professors and from pastors and teachers that God can be reimagined as Mother. So we come to this movement here, a group called Christians for Biblical Equality. This is the forerunner in this evangelical feminism. Richard Foster is on the board of reference. And Richard Foster is a popular author, found in a lot of church parlors. He's written a book called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. In this book he says, quote, I have chosen to follow the standard usage of the masculine pronoun, now this is in reference to God, quote, although I am keenly aware of the inadequacies of this approach. And so in our discussion a little later, we'll talk about, yeah, he's adamantly for calling God Mother, evidently. But he goes on to say concerning prayer, Foster quotes Julian of Norwich. And Dr. Stan, Julian of Norwich was a mystic who's teaching to call God Mother. And here again, in some churches here in New York City, Redeemer Presbyterian, they've got books promoting Julian of Norwich. I've talked to the pastor about this. It's been very grievous. But Julian of Norwich... teaches that Jesus could be called Mother as well. So Foster quotes Julian of Norwich, quote, "The Trinity is our everlasting lover." Foster continues, "Great literature on prayer is frankly and wonderfully erotic."
Frankly and wonderfully erotic. I mean, what does that... I mean, you know, it's almost sometimes as if we live in a world gone mad, and there are only a few of us sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy. But I really believe, ladies and gentlemen, that they're trying to bring mysticism into the church. They're trying to change the meaning of the scriptures. And, of course, when you see some of our leading ministers going along with this, and I don't know whether they're just being misled, whether they're under demonic control, or maybe they know exactly what they're doing. And maybe like Ted Haggard, who headed the 30 million member strong National Evangelical Association, he himself is a homosexual, a drug user, and was using his post to undermine Christianity. We'll be right back. Well, Twaina, you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to the good news now, the news that I love, and any Christian will love. Some light in this darkness I've been researching is the Holy Word of God, and we can examine why it's not okay to call God Mother, why Jesus did not come as a female. It was never part of God's plan for him to come as a female, despite what the evangelical feminists teach, and why the Holy Spirit cannot be called she. So we see here with the, quote, evangelical feminists. And who are these people before we get into what the Bible says? Board of reference, Tony Campolo, Gordon Fee, Richard Foster, Rebecca Merrill Groteis. Her husband is Douglas Groteis, who's written about 10 books, I think, on apologetics. Ruth Tucker, endorsers of this movement to call God Mother, would be Bill Hybels. Stan Gundry, I think, with Zondervan Publishing, David Joel Hamilton with YWAM, Greg Boyd, Ryan McLaren, Roger Olson with Baylor University Theological Seminary, Debbie Gill, Assemblies of God. We go on and on. Fuller Theological Seminary, Golden Gate Baptist Theological, Cornerstone Magazine. I'm just scanning over this. Denver Seminary is promoting this. Vernon Grounds is listed as being on the board of reference. Duke Divinity, Gordon Conwell, Palmer Theological Seminary. And, of course, they are promoting books by N.T. Wright, his new perspective on Hall. And they were promoting a book called Is It Okay to Call God Mother? Until I started writing a lot on this topic and exposing some of their teachings, and they did remove that book. But in support of this book, we see support from Brennan Manning, Tony Campolo, and Jan Aldrich Clanton, who is chaplain of Baylor University Medical Center. There are others, but those are a few names. The movement is growing. They change their message, evidently, from church to church. They can come to a conservative church and say, well, we are Christians for biblical equality. We believe women have gifts, too. I'm a woman in ministry, so of course, we know that women have gifts, too. We know that when Jesus resurrected, he first appeared to a woman. So, yes, women can go and tell and share the glorious gospel with people and how to be saved. But at the same time, they take it a lot further than that. This is an attack on who God is. This is an attack on the, quote, traditionalist, patriarchal language, calling him sexist. We see here a push for androgyny as well. Androgyny is the teaching that there are no differences between men and women other than anatomical differences. So let's look a little into these teachings of Christians for Biblical Equality, the evangelical feminists. A teacher says, I think if you want to, in your personal devotions, address God as Mother, I don't have a problem with that. That's a quote from T.J. Ostrander from some tape that they are promoting on this website. The CBE, Christians for Biblical Equality website, this is called Sophia, Wisdom of God or Goddess of Wisdom. Here is a quote from Ruth Tucker. Ruth Tucker says, we sing the words of John W. Peterson in worshipful praise, quote, Shepherd of love, you knew I had lost my way. Would it be worse or blasphemous to sing something like Mother of Love? Both are figures of speech. But because
hold that thought for just a moment here, if you will, please, and we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking with our guest today, Duane Litz, is really about this movement within the church. And really, Christianity is under attack, not only from without, but from within. There's a group of Christians for biblical equality. And, of course, they are trying to say, well, certainly we shouldn't be discriminating against women. And, of course, what's wrong with calling God Mother? And, of course, what they're doing is really a change in the whole thrust of what who God is. In fact, they even mentioned in some of the writings Sophia. Well, Sophia was, of course, a female deity, but this comes from the occult, and yet they're mixing Sophia with the God of the Bible as if somehow the God of the Bible could be Sophia. Mm-hmm. What sort of madness is that, Duana?
Well, Dr. Stan, recently on WorldNet Daily, there was an article written, posted, called Why So Many Americans Are Embracing Witchcraft. And in that article, the astute author pointed out, quote, according to Wiccan teachings, to find balance, practitioners must worship both the male and female aspects of deity, the god and the goddess, embodying the life force manifest in nature. Well, what does this remind us of? It's reminding us of these quotes here coming at us from the evangelical feminists. So I think that as the more we discuss this, the more we really will see that it is a counterfeit demonic spirit at work, the spirit of witchcraft that's coming into the church. But anyway, Ruth Tucker, who's on the board of reference for this Christians for Biblical Equality, says, would it be worse or blasphemous to sing something like Mother of Love? Both are figures of speech, but because of our fear of taking on the trappings of radical feminism or goddess worship, we dare not sing those words, except perhaps in our closets of prayer. Oh, my. So isn't this something? You know, when I was at Venice, Dr. Stan, people in the occult would come up, and they would sit with me at the booth, and they would say, I want to tell you something, but you may be too scared to find out, or I'd like to invite you to this meeting where we have levitations, but you may not want to come, they would say. You might be too scared.
Now, by levitation, of course, you're talking about people simply lifting up off the ground and being able to almost float. And, of course, this is the cult manifestation of the demonic forces that are very real. It would scare most people unless they understood the true nature of the spiritual battle.
Well,
so go right ahead.
Absolutely. But we see a tactic here, because when Ruth Tucker just said, maybe you're just too scared. This is some real tactic that perhaps Satan uses a lot with his followers, or when people are deceived by counterfeit spirits. Yes, we should be scared of demons. We are to stay very... God wants us walking in paths of righteousness for his name's sake and away from this. But often when we stand up for the Bible, instead of hearing... when people are not being convicted, then they say, well, you're just too scared. You're too scared for the occult. Well, yeah, and it's a godly, it's godly wisdom that makes us want to stay away from that. Sure, I come in the name of Jesus, but we are forbidden to touch what's unclean. We don't mix the house of God and worship in his name with worship of demons. That's very clear in the Bible. So we go on here to continue with our quotes. The president of Christians for Biblical Equality, Mimi Haddad, teaches, we must resist the implication that God is masculine or that Scripture sanctions patriarchy, quote, we may speak of God as father or as mother. They were also promoting a woman named Jan Aldrich Clanton, who's written a book, God, A Word for Girls and Boys. This was available on their website. And then she teaches that masculine God language hinders many children from establishing relationships of trust with God. In addition, calling God He causes boys to commit the sin of arrogance. And it goes on and on. She ends up saying, quote, for the sake of these little ones, we must change the way we talk about God and human beings. So what a movement this is. Now for the light. Not once in Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic does God refer to himself as mother. Not once. God is spirit, and we see that in John 4:24. But God refers to himself in the masculine because that is the order of creation. Similes such as, quote, like a hen gathers her chicks in Matthew 23:37 portray an action. But a simile is not a name. Actions are not names. It just conveys God's character.
Amen to that. Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand, really, that Christianity is under attack. And certainly through organizations like Christians for Biblical Equality, why, they work within the church and just raise questions, you know, what's wrong with this sort of thing? I mean, certainly, you know, what's wrong with referring to God as her or as mother? And of course, this is all occultism. We're told in the final days in Thessalonians 2:2, that there'll be a great falling away before the man of sin is exposed. And I suspect that we're very, very close to that time right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Duane Litz, and we're talking about this influence in the church, this effort to really change the entire thrust of the biblical message, that God no longer being a masculine entity, but being a feminine entity, and, of course, based upon nothing but the ancient goddess worship. And there really is. There was worship of Sophia, and certainly of Minerva, and of Venus, and Athena. And they're trying to bring the ancient worship of the ancient Greek mythological gods right into the church today. Sophia fit into that category as well. So pick the story up.
Sure. Well, continuing on with what the Bible says, Jesus teaches us to call God Father and never referred to God as Mother. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus prays, Our Father who art in heaven. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Now, whether the feminists like it or not, and they don't like it, God is king. Malachi 1:14, for example, For I am a king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. God is ruler. Daniel 5:21 says, The Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind. God is Lord. Now, these titles, king, lord, master, see, the feminists don't like that, because this conveys an authority that they really don't like. You know, not just the feminists, but we're seeing this also in some movements that want to demean God, to make God our buddy, our friend, and not this holy God that came incarnate and died for our sins. But nevertheless, he is who he is in all of his glory. We see that God is Lord in verses like Isaiah 42:8 that says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. God has all authority. Now, women have no authority over the God of the Bible. That's all there is to it, no matter what they say. And they say a lot. they try to twist a lot of things. But Isaiah 45:23-24 says that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. And that means men and women. And all who are angry at him will be put to shame. It goes on, Isaiah 45:9, Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. Now, something else that we need to keep in mind, Dr. Stan, is that the God of the Bible is not impressed with, quote, learned people who don't submit to him. Isaiah 65:2 says, I've spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good. Then what does it say? Following their own thoughts. Isaiah 2:22 says, Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed?
Hold that thought, Duane. We're going to bring our other stations on board right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Duane Litz. And before we go on, Duane, I want you to get your telephone number, your website out. If people are interested in learning more about your ministry or joining in and helping you as you go right into the very front lines into very undesirable areas, simply using tracks and other items at a card table set up, you know, in Southern California or in Boulder, Colorado, or back there in New York City, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into some of the most really possessed, some of the most occult areas of the country. So how can people get in touch with you and learn more about what you're doing and perhaps even contribute to what you're doing?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. They can go to lightingthewayworldwide.org.
Lightingthewayworldwide.org, okay?
And all of my contact information is there. Would love to hear from them. And by the way, this fact sheet and a lot of the articles that we're discussing today are posted on the articles page, all the documentation on this evangelical feminism. But, you know, we're seeing here a lot of seminary professors and people with doctorates, and they've studied theology. But what does the Bible say in John 7:15? It says, "And the Jews were astonished, saying, 'How has this man become learned?'" They were speaking of Jesus, having no education. 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." So we have to submit our intellect to the Lord, or it does no good, really. I want to talk about the biblical abomination of Mother God worship. The Mother God of the Bible is Satan. In Revelation 17:5, Satan is called, hey, what do we have here? The Mother of Harlots. And, you know, that's the only time a spirit is called a mother. We're dealing with Satan in the Bible. So Satan is the Father, Mother, God, interestingly, and can take on both the masculine and the feminine. Satan is the mother of harlots in Revelation 17:5, and the father of lies in John 8:44. So the Mother God is at war with the God of the Bible. In Jeremiah 7:18, that verse says that those who worship the, quote, Queen of Heaven spite God. So the Queen of Heaven is not God. The Mother God worship is also forbidden by the God of the Bible in Jeremiah 44, verses 15 through 19 and verse 25. And it is detestable and evil to God to transgress his covenant and worship any of the heavenly host he has not commanded in Deuteronomy 17:2-4. So we also can look a little further into what these evangelical feminists are teaching about Jesus. Now, Ruth Tucker again says, and she's quoting Julian of Norwich, this popular mystic now that we're finding in all these church parlors, quote, "Jesus Christ, who does well against evil, is our very mother." And we also see here, in a book that they were promoting called Is It Okay to Call God Mother? Paul R. Smith wrote this book with a cartoon of Moses arriving in heaven telling God, "Gee, I didn't expect you to be a soprano." Now, this man is a pastor of, it used to be a Broadway Baptist, and then I think they dropped him from the Baptist denomination just recently. Later on in the book, this author, Paul R. Smith, says, quote, "Something is wrong when we cannot conceive of the Messiah coming from a different cultural setting or being of a different race or gender." Now, he says he has a sculpture of a, quote, female Jesus hanging on the cross, and he admits that some people have had violent reactions to it. So this is coming from a pastor. And this same pastor, of course, is teaching universalism. He teaches, quote, "God forgives us without any need for a sacrifice of any kind, just as Jesus taught that we are to forgive one another. Jesus taught that every person will eventually be drawn into the fullness of God's salvation. You are ultimately destined for heaven. No one will be left behind." Now, who endorses him? Who says this is lovely? Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo says, "With tender power and wit, Paul Smith challenges the church to biblical fidelity and justice in its worship language." Can you believe that?
Well, I can see that the real danger of this idea that nobody will be left behind. Nobody, of course. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, if everybody goes to heaven, then we don't need a Savior. We do not, you know, need to profess belief in Jesus Christ, because, you know, we're going to get to heaven no matter what we've done. And, of course, the truth of the matter is, as sinners, we're condemned to hell, and it's only by accepting the divinity of Jesus Christ and making allegiance to him that we have any hope of salvation. And so basically what this new movement's all about is destroying faith in Christianity and so confusing this, and father, mother, and all these other issues. Basically, they're going to get an awful lot of people trapped and will lose, you know, certainly any hope they have of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And, Chris, what people, the hardest thing for me, really, for many years, was to realize that there really are people out there worship a different God. Now, we say, of course, there's only one God, and there's only one true God, but there are many other gods out there. And, of course, one of them, of course, is Lucifer, and he has disciples all across the world today. People don't understand there are literally hundreds of Luciferian organizations, and whether people want to acknowledge it or not, it's very real. And, of course, this is where the power of the witch comes from. This is where the power of the Satanist comes from. This is where the power of the people who are utilizing Rhonda Byrne's The Secret comes from. Of course, they're tapping into this mystical power. It's not imaginary. It's very real. But, of course, it leads only, of course, to eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Isaiah 9:6, getting back to this spirit of witchcraft and the attack on Jesus and the blood that he shed, which we know that Satan hates that blood, and so that's why we're seeing that, you know, we're seeing this attack on the crucifixion and the sacrifice that he made. But as far as whether or not he could have come as a woman, we need to just settle that right now. The Bible settles it. In Isaiah 9:6, it says the Messiah had to be a son, for unto us a son would be given. There was absolutely no chance that the Jesus of the Bible, fulfilling over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament to the New, could have been a female. Absolutely zero chance. Now, not only that, but the feminists also need to know that the Jesus of the Bible could never be a female in heaven today. And how do we know that? We know that from the Bible. From him who is, and who was, and who is to come, I am the first and I am the last. That's from Revelation 1:4. And then in John 20, of course, with the text where Thomas was doubting, and Thomas said, unless I see in his hands the imprint of nails and put my finger into the place of his nails, the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. We're going to recognize Jesus in heaven. It brings to mind a precious old hymn by Fanny Crosby, one of my favorites, called I Shall Know Him. And it says, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. He's not going to be some, you know, androgynous spirit that we're not going to recognize. He's not, and he's certainly not going to be a female. So the last attack is on the precious Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And they teach, of course, we know what they're going to teach. They're going to teach that we can call the Holy Spirit as a she. That's exactly what they teach. Surprisingly, though, they pull from the Unification Church, which is the Moonies, and the Christian Scientists, as if these groups are not cults, as if they're Christian. And so they say that the Unification Church and the Christian Scientists often taught that the Holy Spirit was a feminine person of the Trinity. So perhaps this idea, you know, has some plausibility. Now, this is on their website from the E Equalizer, May 2005. It's called The Feminine Aspects of God. That's where that can be found. Well, is the Holy Spirit a she? What does the Bible say? John 14:16-17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him. Or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And then, of course, another text would be John 16:7-15, where the Holy Spirit is called a he. So this is an attack on God's word. You know, we're either going to believe that the Bible is God's word or not. And by faith, when the Lord draws us into salvation, he gives us faith to believe in his word. And this is just not even up for debate. This is almost, if it weren't so sad, it would be laughable. But it's too sad to be laughable that these people, these pastors, are trying to push this over on us.
What they're really trying to do is confuse Christians, and they're doing a good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is really the tragic thing. And we have to go back to the Bible. It doesn't matter what the minister says. Of course, certainly if we can trust him and he's going to be true to the Bible, fine. But if he's going to put his own spin on things, of course, we're going to have to be, you know, well into the Word to understand what's being said.
Right. We'll discuss just briefly this androgyny now that they're teaching. They are teaching in on a tape that they make available here. They teach how many, this is a quote, how many of you know the name of the woman who lived in the Garden of Eden before the fall? And then the teacher says, what was her name? Her name was Adam. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 5:2. She goes on. She says, at creation, God called the name of the man and the woman Adam. If you said Eve, she was given that name later by the man in Genesis 3:20 after he had sinned. So this is the fall of the man who gave her that name. Okay. Well, let's look at this. Actually, Genesis 5:2, God named the human race man and not woman. When God created man, he made them in the likeness of God, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. The word that is translated man is the Hebrew word Adam, but this is by no means a gender-neutral term in the eyes of the Hebrew reader, because in the four chapters prior to Genesis 5:2, Adam has been used many times to speak of a male human being in distinction from a female human being. Does this make any difference? It does give a hint of male leadership, which God suggested in choosing this name. That was a quote from Wayne Grudem. I appreciate that from him. You see, they don't like that, the feminists. The feminists don't want there to be any difference in men and women, no difference in roles. You know, I've even read, when a man opens a door for you, that's sexist. Well, I'll tell you, that's very offensive to me as a woman. 1 Corinthians 15:21 should be mentioned, Dr. Stan. Sin entered through a man. Our Redeemer comes as a man. This is very significant. It's significant. In 1 Corinthians 15:21, Eve was deceived, Adam was not. Okay, so there is a difference in accountability. The feminists take Galatians 3:28, where it says there's neither male nor female. They take that way out of context, actually. And that is pertaining to salvation. Obviously, you know, there is a difference in male and female. So that is just improper hermeneutics. I want to go on to quote a little bit more. Okay, this is an attack on men in this same lecture on androgyny. In Genesis 3:20, the woman that's teaching from this feminist movement says, he gives her a different name. And it's his way of saying, we're not going to have the same name. This is in reference, of course, to Adam and Eve. Adam gives her a different name. He says, we won't be related. I'm separating myself from you. Now, the CBE lecturer then teaches that it was a sin on Adam's part to give Eve a different name, and tells us that God did not curse either the man or the woman, but the sinful disorder was all Adam's fault, with no blame given to Eve. So, she says, quote, it's a hostile kind of act on a name that God had already given to make that distinction. So distinctions, the theme is here that distinctions came as a result of the fall. Now, what's interesting is that many of these people that are promoting this movement took tours in churches to teach against the Da Vinci Code. Oh, they came out, they taught, people took notes. Oh, wasn't it wonderful? Let's all be equipped against Gnosticism. Meanwhile, they're supporting this movement. And this movement is extremely Gnostic. I want to give you a quote now. And this is a quote. Quote, the church had a deceitful and violent history. The days of the goddess were over. Okay. We are starting to sense the dangers of our history, of our destructive paths. We are beginning to sense the need to restore the sacred feminine. That is a quote from the Da Vinci Code. Pages 124 through 125 and also 341 and 444. The point is, that these same people who were teaching against the Da Vinci Code, often in lectures, are members of CBE. So,
well, I think they're doing everything they can, of course, to deceive us. And, of course, we agree with them on the Da Vinci Code, then perhaps we'll tend to step right up and believe everything else they say. And, of course, so much of this is really, of course, leading us astray.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Doug Grotius's wife, Rebecca Merrill Grotius, quotes, when sexuality is despiritualized and God desexualized, the issue of the supposed gender of God becomes a non-issue, and the question of whether or not God is male or masculine becomes inappropriate and irrelevant. And she says, quote, it is true that in the incarnation, Christ became a male human, but the theological significance of Christ's bodily incarnation is not that he became male, but that he became human. Christ, maleness is never spoken of in the Bible as having any spiritual significance. Well, that's false. How about Isaiah 9:6, which we've already gone over? He's called the only begotten Son of God. He's called the Son of Man. Rebecca Groteis expounds on the Bible's language as if it is a human book. Now, this is what the feminists do. As if the Bible was put together by humans with a private system of interpretation filled with human fallacies and cultural myths instead of being the product of the mind of God. So this method of interpretation is how people abuse context and exercise improper hermeneutics.
Well, why would anybody bring them into these people into the church? The minister would have to know what they were preaching.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're coming right on in there. She goes on to teach on this androgyny, quote, some have suggested that before the woman was created, Adam was not a specifically male human, but was a sexually undifferentiated human. This idea seems to have some plausibility. She goes on and on and on this in her book, Good News for Women, page 25. You know,
good news for women is the fact that Adam was really was not a male, but was sort of a mixture of male and female.
Yeah, as a woman, that's not good news, and I'm sure that's not good news at all to your wife, Dr. Stan.
I don't think so at all. Anyway, our guest today has been Duana Litson. Once again, Duana, why don't you get your website out there in case people would like to get in touch with you and get the great information you have available.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's lightingthewayworldwide.org. And I would love to hear from you. Go to the Contact Us page, email me, call. All the information is there.
One more time, the website.
LightingTheWayWorldwide.org.
LightingTheWayWorldwide.org. A very worthwhile ministry. If you have an area where you can help out, I think what they're doing is wonderful. Frontline ministry, going right into the enemy's camp and trying to win souls. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Duana, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program here.
Okay, Dr. Stan. Well, we just see here that this movement of evangelical feminism is really nothing new under the sun. The Jehovah's Witnesses actually taught this in the Watchtower from September the 1st, 1956. They were teaching androgyny, quote, God had now divided the feminine characteristics from Adam and put them in this woman, and he goes on and on teaching and androgynous teachings from Russell there at the Watchtower. We see that this is also Gnosticism coming into the church. There are many Gnostic teachings about calling God Mother. And we also see that the Kabbalah teaches to call God Mother. So lastly, we just want to be reminded by God's Word, 1 Timothy 6, 20-21, we must be on guard against, quote, what is falsely called knowledge. We must guard what has been entrusted to us. Our faith as Christians is not passive, but an active faith.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I think that what we need to do is be constantly aware of the fact that there are those who would infiltrate the church and change its message, change its music, and ultimately change the entire belief of the Christians so that in the latter days there'd be a great falling away, and I think we're seeing it today. And, of course, I'm glad you're on the front lines getting people educated. What sort of response are you getting as you talk about these things, Duana?
Well, what sort of response? I'm not very popular amongst the feminists. They started a whole blog against me. At first it hurt a little, but it doesn't hurt anymore. I'm so thankful that God would ever use me to the extent that anyone would ever say anything bad about me publicly. It doesn't matter what they say about me, first of all. I just want to tell someone what the Bible says. This is not anything personal. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. But then again, Dr. Stan, we get a lot of people that say, thank you so much. I never knew this before. I've even had some people leave this movement. They've written me and said, I'm not going to be a member of this anymore. I'm not giving my money. I had no idea they were teaching this. So, of course, the God is faithful to use his word. We are just told to go to give it, and the work is not the glory does not belong to us. The work is not ours.
Well, you know, I was just reading today about Jonathan Edwards, certainly one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Mm-hmm. And eventually he got thrown out of his church, and certainly it was impoverished, had to go off in the mission field. And here the man who really was responsible for the first Great Awakening. Yeah. But, of course, there was a whispering campaign. They went out to get them. And the fact that they're attacking you means you're being effective and you're doing God's work.
Well, thank you. It does hurt when it comes from Christians. But you know what? The Lord hurts a lot more than we do. And it draws us to Him. So it's wonderful.
Bye-bye. And God bless you. Thanks very much for everything you do. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope that you've enjoyed our program with Twitter. And, of course, there are forces that are attacking Christianity today. In fact, of course, we have a number of various means of getting these ideas out. Certainly, we have the DVDs and videos put out by Pastor Joe Schimmel. And he has one that goes into Gnosticism. He has one on the Da Vinci Code and the Da Vinci Con. He has his DVDs about they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions. And, of course, Joe would know about this because he himself, of course, was one time involved in the occult and can speak so well about it. If you haven't seen his videos, we have a number of them. We certainly recommend them to you. Understand that Christianity is under attack today from all sides. And then, of course, we have Bob Clegg's excellent DVD on the church growth movement. And, of course, we have a 4-tape set on the church growth movement. And we have a 4-tape set on the supernatural. There really is a supernatural manifestations today. The book that goes with that is entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil. It's written by Johanna Michelson, who herself was a medium. And incidentally, Joanna is going to be a speaker at our October 26th conference here in the Monterey Bay area. And if any of you can possibly make it from across the country or locally, why, you'll certainly want to hear Joanna talking about her experience when she was involved in the supernatural. We're going to have, of course, Dr. Russell Blaylock as well, certainly one of my favorite guests. And it was going to be a great turnout if you can possibly get to the conference. Mark it down. It's the 26th of October. But anyway, of course, we have here, of course, one of my favorite books, Hostage to the Devil. I read it back in 1980. It was my first real introduction to the supernatural forces. There was written by a man I'd never heard of at that time. His name was Father Malachi Martin. Well, as time went by, I got a chance to meet and then talk with Father Malachi on a number of occasions. We have a 4-tape set called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. We recommend that to you. The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And then, of course, we certainly have a 4-tape set on Satanic Crimes and a book by the same title that takes you into the Bilderbergers and many other things. I mean, certainly, most people don't understand that the son of Sam killings in New York was really part of a satanic cult. The Charles Manson killings were part of the same satanic cult. These people were all tied into this worldwide, nationwide satanic cult. And everything has been done to conceal that information from the American people because the last thing they really want is for you to understand the true nature of the battle that is going on in our country and throughout the world today. We have a book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter. This man had been in Satanism, went out across the country, would be talking to police forces, explaining the satanic crimes that had taken care there, and immediately the Federal Bureau of Investigation would dispatch a speaker to go around the country and to go to those police forces and tell them there were no satanic crimes. You can trust us. I'm from the government. There are no satanic crimes. Why would they do that? Why? Because, of course, these forces of darkness are working at the highest levels of our government. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And for those of you who haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me recommend that to you. It's a good place to start. You can get the DVD. If you can't afford it, you can go up at our webpage of RadioLiberty.com and go to the section on the DVDs, and you can watch it there for nothing. But, of course, we want you to get it so you can get it out to your friends. Other people can learn my talk on